Today is Flag Day. Flag Day commemorates the Continental Congress's official adoption of the Stars and Stripes as the American flag. That was in 1777. Before the familiar American flag design came about, colonial troops fought under a variety of regional banners. Yellow Gadsden flag, featuring the image of a snake and the motto, "Don't Tread on Me," that might be the most familiar of them all. As I said, Second Continental Congress passed the first flag resolution on this day in 1777, which simply stated, "Resolved that the flag of the 13 United States be 13 stripes, alternate red and white, and that the Union be 13 stars, white in the blue field, representing a new constellation." Yep, that was it. Now, while most credit Betsy Ross with sewing the very first American flag, there is strong evidence that points to Francis Hopkinson, who was a signer of the Declaration of Independence, as the actual designer of the Stars and Stripes. Over a century, the June 14th anniversary of the creation of the American flag was basically really not celebrated very much at all. Local celebrations did start during the Civil War, around 1861. The momentum generated by schools' patriotic organizations, that eventually pushed the holiday into federal recognition. President Wilson, in 1916, issued a presidential proclamation that officially established June 14th as Flag Day across the nation. Then President Harry S. Truman, 1949, signed an act of Congress that permanently codified June 14th as National Flag Day and requested that future presidents issue an annual proclamation for its observance. The American flag is a symbol which represents all that is a part of the foundation of America. When we stand before it with our hand over our heart, we do it to show respect for what the American flag represents. We're not looking at the American flag as an idol, because to do so would certainly run counter to everything that the American flag stands for, which is established by, I think, one of the most important sections of the Declaration of Independence. Reading here, "When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." God says much about idolatry, and none of His word encourages it. God's direct and precise instructions come to us from Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 5. "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them." Galatians chapter 4, verse 8, teaches us that idolatry does not bring us to any kind of freedom that God offers to us. It's a path really to the exact opposite. "But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods." Idolatry does not bring us to happiness either. Here's what we read in Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. "Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy." Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 writes a great deal about idolatry. One of his many important points helps us realize that while idolatry isn't illegal when it comes to earthly law, it's not what we believe it to be for us. Reading here from verse 23. "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify." When you fully understand what idolatry keeps company with, that truth, I think, will compel you to quickly turn away from it. This lesson is found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Now, that doesn't make God's truth crystal clear to you. Let me take you to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. All of what I've just placed before you is why we don't treat the American flag with idolatry. We treat it with respect and reverence. We are not bowing before an idol. We're pledging to do all that we can to uphold and protect all that the American flag stands for. So you'll better understand what those ideals are. Here's comedian Red Skelton, who on his TV show on January 14th, 1969, stood before his audience and the American people to share this.
Well, I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. And I used to, this is true. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher. Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell. He says, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect. Because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice. The principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer? And that would be eliminated from schools, too.